Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 8. 1 Samuel chapter number 8. And we have been in a series here looking at the character of Samuel. The character of Samuel. Samuel was a rare man. In fact, you stand him against just about all the men in the Bible that we know of. And he stands out as a pearl. I mean, there is little negative that you can say about Samuel. He served God through his whole entire life. And he was able to see two kings enter the throne for Israel. He was at one point served almost in the same position that Jesus will as he reigns and rules in the millennial reign of Christ as prophet, high priest, and judge, and or ruler in Christ's respect. Last week we took a look at Samuel, but we took a look at something that was not so much a characteristic, but something that was an attribute to him. And it was his faithfulness. You can't remain in something if you're not faithful. And Samuel was faithful. And the thing is, you won't find great miracles done by Samuel. You won't find the exciting stories from Samuel. You know what you'll find? Day in, day out, faithful. Day in, day out, faithful. And that's a lot like us New Testament Christians. You're not going to find any of us parting the Red Sea. None of us are going to call fire down from heaven and see the prophets of Baal killed. That's not going to happen in today's day. However, we can still have the same power that Samuel had in his regular faithfulness. But you know what most of us think? That's boring. That's boring. And by the way, that's harder to do. Most of those men that had the spectacular things happen in their life, you know, they also lived like this. Think of Elijah. Elijah was a great man of power, but he, on his mountaintop, he showed that power, but down in his valley, you know what he was? Oppressed. Beaten. Samuel was just every day the same. Just going to keep plugging away. I'm not on the high mountaintop. I'm not down in the valley. I'm just going to keep plugging away. Keep plugging away. And we see at the end of chapter 7, here is a summation of Samuel's life. It says, and in verse 15 of chapter 7, it says, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. Here, if you take the map between these three towns, it is as if he went from L.A. to San Francisco and down towards what would be a middle city there, maybe Fresno or something, right in between there. It's as if he traveled in that triangle all the days of his life. He just went from town to town, those three towns, and serving God. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. It was after a while, as he began to get older, that he went back to his hometown there in Ramah. And it was, the Bible says, very important word, it was there he served God. You say, why is that important? Chapter 8, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. You know, I think it's innate in every man and really every parent that their children follow in their footsteps. There's just something that you want. I want my children to follow in my footsteps. And for some of us, we want them to follow in our footsteps, but we want them to do more. I think all of us say that. I want you to follow in my footsteps, but do more. Do more than I ever could. Take what I have done and just use me as a stepping stone to do more. And so Samuel said, I'm the judge. I'm the judge over Israel. I'm the high priest. I'm the prophet. I'm going to use my sons to judge Israel. That was a little bit of his heart. I want my sons to follow after my footsteps. I think all of us want that, don't we? Wait, as teachers in your class, as you get those classes ready, your goal is to be like, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What you teach should only be a reflection of your life. And here Samuel, he's all the days of his life, he has judged Israel, and now his sons are old enough, and he's an old man. He can't do what he used to do. And so now he says, sons, I want you to kind of follow after my footsteps. Do better than I did. Come on. Then it tells them their names. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel. And the name of the second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. But I want you to notice verse 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside. You know what happened? Here, Samuel has gotten to a point where he's been faithful his whole life, and he realized after circuiting those three cities that he needed to go home because he had some children home. And I don't know, I kind of raised the question myself. I'm wondering if maybe he was the children were too old before he got home and he wasn't able to have an impact on their life. I don't know what it was, but some point in time in their life, they decided to go astray. Some point in time in their life, they decided to withdraw themselves from the ways of Samuel. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Samuel's ways good ways? Yes. Did Samuel do his own thing or did he serve God? He served God. Now, was Samuel perfect? No. Now, we don't really know anything bad about Samuel, but I can tell you this, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Samuel was not a perfect man. But he wanted to serve God. And he did it with his whole life. And he was hoping that his sons would follow his ways. And it says, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside. And if that weren't bad enough, as he's getting old in his life, as he's getting older, now it's time for the people of Israel to look to a new judge. And so, we see verse number 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel under Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. I'm sure he didn't want to hear that. And really, nobody wants to hear that, because it's not the fact that we're old, it's the fact that we know our time is coming up. And they tell Samuel, look, your time is about up. And then they say this, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Not only did Samuel realize it, but the people realized that his sons did not walk in his ways. So what was it that pulled his sons away? What was it that that had them reject their father's ways? Verse 3 says this, they turned aside after lucre. What is lucre? Money. Money. They turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. All those three things mean just one thing. They were materialistic. All they saw was what this world had to offer, and that's it. And they turned aside. The Bible says Turning aside literally means to repent is to change. To turn aside is to go back. It's to revert. The Bible says it like this, like a dog goes back to his vomit. Something that's no good. These young boys, these young men who have been given an opportunity to have a life of purpose, throw it away for money. Let me tell you, money destroys people. You want to know why a lot of Christians aren't rich? It has nothing to do with the fact that blessed are the poor. It has nothing to do with that. You want to know why a lot of Christians aren't rich? Because we can't handle it. There's a great burden in being rich. Now, rich people as a whole, there's nothing wrong with being a rich person. But the burden of being rich is a very heavy burden. Because when you have, people want. And you have to be able to handle that. And not only that, but when you have, automatically you become defensive towards that. Try to cover that thing up. Remember that man who got that one talent? What did he do with it? He said, I don't want anyone to find this. I'm going to bury it. And what did God tell him? You fool. Notice where he buried it too. He buried it in the earth, this world. You see, the thing about money is it's not to be held onto. And these young men, they had gotten to a point where they had turned aside. They had gone to something that was no good. They rejected Samuel's way for money. Materialism. A big house, a nice car. They rejected his way. In fact, they went to not Samuel's way, but Hophni and Phinehas' way. Remember Hophni and Phinehas? The two men that were the two sons of Eli? They turned their way. And we saw the end of that life. In fact, it got to the point where Ichabod was written over their house as their little baby was born. Ichabod, the glory has departed. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. They rejected Samuel's way. But the people now, verse number 5, it says, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and the sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us. Who was judging Israel before? Samuel, but who was the leader of, who was the king of Israel? God. You see, Israel had what was called a theocracy. It was God-run. Samuel was merely a spokesman for God. And Israel said, look, Samuel, you're old. Your sons have gone the wrong way. And we don't want another man like you. We want a king like everyone else. So his sons rejected his ways. The people rejected his leadership. But there was also one other thing. Would you go to verse number 19? From verse 7 to verse... So about verse 19, Samuel is telling the people what's going to happen if you get a king. He's saying, look, if you get a king, there's going to, he tells them this, he will take Verse 11, he says, he will take your sons. Verse 13, it says, he will take your daughters. Verse 14, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards and even the best of them. He will take the tent. He will take your men servants. He will take the tent of your sheep. Notice the word that I used over and over again. What was the word? Take. He will take. And what happens is we see people that will go away from God's leadership, the God-honored leadership, and they'll turn over to a worldly type leadership. And what happens? Take, 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 take. But when you're under God, you know what he wants to do? I come to give. There's a vast difference. But the people said, we want to be like everyone else. We don't want any of this. We want everyone. We want to be like everyone else. They rejected, or his sons rejected his ways. The people rejected his leadership. But after he gave them counsel and said, look, the king is going to take from you a lot. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They rejected his wisdom. And I want you to notice something. This is the same Samuel that in chapter 7, verse number 8, the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And God saved them out of the hand of the Philistines. This is the same Samuel. They said, you know what, Samuel? Give us a king. What do we do when we're rejected? Parents, what do you do when your kids reject you? What do you do when work rejects you? What do you do when a friend rejects you? Or an opportunity rejects you? What do you do when your body begins to reject you? You see, we don't take rejection well as a people. You know, often what we do, we get bitter. I don't take rejection well at all. I try to muster it up, but I just don't. I don't take rejection well. In fact, I take it personally. Anybody do that like me? Am I alone? Rejection, I take it personally. I'm gonna take you back all the way back to high school, guys. Remember when you had to ask that girl on a date? And you were so nervous, your palms began to get all sweaty. You stuttered and you stammered and you sweat like you were Shaq at the foul line. Oh, never mind. And you walk away. What was the fear? Rejected. Or maybe in classroom. Do you remember in classroom as the teacher asked a question and you thought you knew the answer, but oftentimes you'd keep your hand by your side because you were afraid she was going to say, wrong. Or maybe at work, when your boss said, does anybody have any input that you can add to it? And you swallowed your 2 cents because you thought, if he hears what I have to say, he's going to think that I'm an idiot. And so you went, nope. What was the fear? Rejection. Oftentimes, we don't move forward in life because we are afraid of what might happen if we're rejected. What do we do when we're rejected? I want you to look at Samuel here. After he found out that his sons are not walking in his way, and by the way, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he shall not depart from. That doesn't mean that when he's old, he will not. It means that when he's old, he'll know what's right and wrong. Samuel's son knew what was right and wrong. They had a godly example in their father. And then the people, they knew what they were asking for. Because they seen all the other kings and how all the other kings were dictators and what the king said goes. And they knew how that went. They still wanted it. How does Samuel handle it? Look at verse number 6 of chapter 8. But the thing displeased Samuel. When they said, give us a king to judge us. There's his heart. He took it so personally. But what did he do? And Samuel prayed. Look, you have two choices in the matter after you get rejected. You can either get bitter and hide in a shell and maybe eat a tub of ice cream and cry your sorrows away, or you can go to God, who actually has the ability to, number one, comfort us. What we just sang, that song 309, what's that song? Page 309, what a savior here. Page 309, that third verse. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. Verse 2 says, Jesus, what a strength in weakness. You see, we can go to God with our problems. We can cast our care upon Him because we know He cares for us. But not only that, but Jesus, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. He can turn it any way He wants. And we can go have a pity party for ourselves because we were rejected, or we can go to God. And Samuel said, I'm so brokenhearted. My sons have chosen not to follow my ways. The people have chosen not to follow after you, God. What do I do? They're rejecting me. God, they don't want me. Look at verse number 7. As he's going to God, the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Was Samuel in the will of God? Yeah. If anyone was in the will of God, Samuel was in the will of God. Was Samuel doing what God wanted in his life? Yes. So if Samuel was in the will of God, doing exactly what God wanted, do you think that their rejection was because Samuel messed up? No. In fact, if anything, their rejection was pointing him to the proper will of God. Their rejection was the will of God for his life. Say, how can you say that? His sons chose not his way. His people chose not his way. Jesus is the son of who? God. So Jesus is the son of God. He was born to who? Mary and Joseph. Mary's genealogy can be traced all the way back to what king? King David. He had to be a king. There needed to be a king. And in order for there to be a king, there had to be a rejection. Sometimes, in the midst of a rejection that seems very personal. God is saying they haven't rejected you. They're rejecting you. Because it was starting a path all the way to Calvary. Because when those people hung Jesus on the cross, were they rejecting the disciples? No. Were they rejecting the healing he's done? No. What about the feeding of the 5,000 and the 3,000? What about all those times where the lame man walked and the blind man can see? Were they rejecting that? They were rejecting God. So oftentimes, if we're in the midst of the will of God in our life and rejection comes our way, just know it's part of the path that God has for us. Not only that, we see Samuel prayed to God. Then God had told him some things. And he told him to say some things. In verse number 10, we see this. Now, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. What did he do? He followed God. He kept doing what he was always doing. Oh, but I got rejected. I just got to keep doing what you're always doing. Did Samuel leave Ramah and go to Beersheba? No, just kept doing what he's supposed to be doing. Did Samuel go and try to beg before the elders? Hey, this is wrong. You know who I am. No. He said, I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God told me to tell you this. When trouble comes and you get rejected, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keep following God. Keep following God. By the way, he closes the loop. I'll finish with this. He closes the loop. Verse 22. Actually, verse number 21. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his own city. What just happened there? The same thing he's always been doing. He goes to God in prayer. Then he follows God's orders. He goes to God, and then he follows God's orders. He goes to God, and then he follows God's orders. He goes to God and he follows God's orders. It doesn't stop. Rejection doesn't hold him back. Because it's not him being rejected, it's God. So what do we do when rejection hits? Go to God. And then follow God. Go to God, follow God. That's it. Say, well, that's too easy. Then you try doing it. It's a lot harder than you think. Go to God, follow God. Go to God, follow God. Samuel, what a man of great character. May we be that type of people when rejection comes, saying, you're not going to sway me. You're not going to make me bow because I can't do something. I'm going to go to God and I'm going to follow him. Samuel brokenhearted? Oh yeah, big time. Did it stop him from doing what he was supposed to be doing? Not at all. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father.